Hey guys, welcome back to the Dad Tired Podcast. Glad that you're here. Today's episode is brought to you by Backgate Prayers. And listen, Mother's Day is coming up really quick, in case you forgot. And if you're like me, sometimes your mind quickly goes to just getting your wife flowers or candy or a card or whatever the grocery store has at the front of the store. Don't do that. There's a much more special and personal gift that you can give them this year. Backgate Prayers has been a friend of ours in the ministry for a long time. It is a favorite among the Dad Tired guys. If you go on to our Dad Tired community, you will see many guys who have got these prayer cards for the women in their lives, and they are always a huge hit. Oftentimes, the wives will say it was the most personal and thoughtful gift that they have received. So if you're looking to get your wife something special, or your mom or your mother-in-law something special, this is such a great gift. Super easy to do. All you do is go to backgateprayers.com. You will upload a picture, your favorite picture of your kids, along with their names, and then they will create a beautiful custom prayer card set that sits in this wooden block. It looks really nice, like just by itself as a decor piece. Ours sits, I actually have two. I have one on my desk and one in our living room, and it just looks really nice. But each of these cards have personalized prayers for your kids. So it will have a picture of your kids that you sent them, along with prayers for their growth in Christ, their integrity, their salvation, discernment, humility, a servant's heart, protection, like all kinds of really great personalized prayers. And each of the cards and each of the prayers have the scriptures that accompany the prayers and how they came up with those prayers for your family to pray over your kids. It's a really personal and significant gift. Again, it goes way beyond just flowers and candy and cards, stuff that will come and go. This can sit on your desk or in your living room or in your house for years and years, and you can pray these prayers with your wife over and over and over again for your children. Like I said, these have been a huge hit with the Dad Tired listeners for many years. Mother's Day is coming very, very quickly. So if you want to do this, you need to do it like right now. Go to backgateprayers.com and use the code DADTIRED, all one word. They'll give you a 10% discount. Again, that's DADTIRED at checkout. But you must get your order in by May 2nd. So like right now, go to backgateprayers.com, place your order, and use the promo code DADTIRED to get 10% off. Alex and Steven, so excited to be hanging out with you guys today. It makes sense if you're watching this on YouTube, you guys are filmmakers and you probably have the best film set, like camera setup I've ever done in one of these interviews, which is on par. But before I give away
what we say, as long as it looks good,
it looks good. It looks good. Before that, that will give away a little bit if guys aren't familiar with who you guys are, but tell us who you are and what you're up to these days.
Alex and Steven Kendrick. For the last 20 years, we've made feature films. We desire to use that to minister to people, draw them to a closer walk with God by telling stories they can relate to or that will inspire them in some way. And so from Facing the Giants to Courageous, War Room, Overcomer, and our new one is The Forge. It's with a focus on discipleship. So we each have six kids. Mm-hmm. And our older brother has seven kids, so there's 19.
He beat us.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Kids between all the and we love the role of father and husband. Yes, it's hard and challenging, also worth it, and it gets better as you go.
That's right.
Your guys' passion for fatherhood, marriage, discipleship—I feel like it just bleeds through in your films. Is that something that you're pretty intentional about as you're making films?
Absolutely. I would say you're right. What you know. And your passion is going to leak out of you. Mm-hmm. Our father surrendered his life to Christ and was the chain breaker in our family tree. His own dad was 7 feet tall, was dealt with alcoholism, unfaithfulness, rebellion. His grandfather was in rebellion against God. But the gospel transformed our dad's life. Mm-hmm. And he said, the buck stops here. He said, I want to be faithful to the Lord, to my wife, to my kids. And he had his own resolution of saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that completely changed our family tree. He grabbed the steering wheel and forgave his dad, and then was able to lead us using the scriptures because he didn't have the example and the model. There's a lot of guys out there that are like, man, I want to lead my family, but I don't know what that looks like because my dad did not lead. Or I want to bless my wife and love her like Christ loved the church, but I have no idea what that means. And so hanging out with godly men, listening to great podcasts, you know, getting in the scriptures, all of those things had a big impact on men. And so in our own lives, we are trying to disciple our kids every day. We're involved serving at our local church. We served in 20 years in church ministry. So we're passionate about the Great Commission and about discipleship, you know, which is what this new movie's about as well.
Yeah, I want to talk about the movie in a second. But first, I just want to say thank you guys for putting out such great movies. Like, it's so refreshing to be able to sit down with your family and watch a movie that you just aren't worried about, like from start to finish. Right. You know, it's just, right. It's super rare to be able to do that. And to watch something that's high quality. I mean, you guys know this, but just to watch something that's high quality and not cheesy. And it's just, you know, your kids are going to enjoy. And you guys have been doing that for a long time. So it's really refreshing. I remember, I feel like at one of the events that you were at that I was attending, you talked about how hard it is to put these movies, like people don't understand the behind the scenes.
Yes.
And the miracle sometimes that it takes to put on these movies. Can you share a little bit, kind of pull back the curtain and tell us what it's like to make one of these movies?
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, we've wanted to do it since we were very, very young and learned that it is way harder than we expected. Every movie that we do equals a year to a year and a half of our life. So thousands of hours, hundreds of people. And it never goes perfectly, but that's what life is. Life never goes perfectly. But God is faithful every time, and he teaches us something every movie that we do. And he allows us to be stretched, and sometimes through pressure. A gym coach would tell someone that's a weightlifter, we're going to add a little bit more this time. And then in 3 days, we're going to add a little bit more. And it seems like the Lord does that with us at times. And so it's difficult at times, but man, I love what the Lord is teaching us. I love what the depth that he'll take you if you're truly chasing him and seeking him. And so he takes us deeper. He makes us stronger. He makes us more fruitful. But no, it is not necessarily an easy journey. There are joyful days of ease, but it is not necessarily an easy journey. So being a dad, and we love focusing on that, there's a dad element in every movie that we do. Because if we lose this generation, man, oh my goodness, the consequences are destructive. And so we need men stepping up and saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this perfectly. And your father may have not done it well, but you can. You can say, God, would you use me? Would you make me fruitful? And just start chasing Jesus. And the Lord loves that. And he will walk with you and help you. So that's what our dad did.
Yeah.
And we're the beneficiaries of that. And now we're pouring into our own kids. And our own kids have their own walk with God. And so we love that. And so this Forge movie is specifically focused on men doing it. Yes, it applies to everybody, discipleship, but we're a war room focused on the women learning to pray. This one is focused primarily on men learning to disciple. It's the same world, the war room and the Forge, same universe, same characters, but it was a lot of fun to make, and I can't wait for people to see it in August.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's an incredible movie. I remember at one of the events too, you guys said, forgive me because I don't remember all the details, but help me fill them in. You talked about like a reporter that was talking to you, and I feel like she wasn't even a Christian. And you said that you always like to ask like a dad question. Do you remember?
Yes,
do you remember?
I do.
Okay, what was the story behind that?
So we were on the set of Courageous, and a very prominent reporter from a major news source had flown down to Albany, Georgia, and she's skeptical. And she says, you know, why are you making this movie, Courageous? What's the big deal? You know, why are you focusing in on men? And I said, tell me about your relationship with your dad. I flipped it back around on her. And so she starts talking about her dad. And it usually gets emotional when people start talking about their dad. Yeah. Either they were deeply hurt by him or they deeply loved him. Either way, people will get emotional. Your relationship with your dad is a bond or a connection that touches the heart.
Yeah.
It just, God's wired us that way because he's wired us to relate to him as father, you know, is the ultimate goal there. And so as she begins to gush and talk about the pain, the inspiration, whatever, her dad, I said, that's why we're making this film, because we want to help the next generation of kids be able to share good stories about their dads becoming the hero that their family needs.
Yeah.
You know, rather than stories of devastation, I tell these young dads when their kids are in elementary school, and I would say it to you now, you know, when we're growing up, we want to be Iron Man, Superman, Batman. You know, we envision being this hero that jumps in and saves the day, and we're seen as strong and brilliant. And, you know, that's the kind of movies that men tend to watch. God lets you be that to your little kids until they hit like middle school. They are looking at you as this superhero. And you have so much influence to step into their lives because you're taller, bigger, stronger, richer, smarter than they are. And they're looking to you. And God gave you that position of influence to represent him and introduce them to him. Because he's a perfect father, perfect in knowledge, perfect in strength, perfect in provision. And it's what a privilege. You know, we, Alex and I, love our kids. Our older brother Shannon does as well. Every one of them is more valuable than a $1 trillion bill. And the opportunity to get to pour into them and love them and lead them. But that's how we change the world.
You know?
When dads step up, it changes the whole next generation.
Totally. I don't know if you can see over my shoulder here, but this is a shameful plug, but just based on what you just said, it's called My Daddy's Hero. And the whole premise of that children's book is that our kids do look at us as the hero of the family, but we need to point them to an even better hero. And if we're not connected to the better hero,
that's good. That's great.
So I totally obviously agree with what you're saying there. Okay, let's talk about the new movie, The Forge, because holy cow. I watched it the other day and I put it on and my 10-year-old daughter was watching it with me. My son is going to watch it with me tonight. Speaking of trying to be the hero, like big, strong dad, I'm bawling like 50% of this movie, just weeping. Like my daughter keeps looking over at me and I'm just, you know, just trying to not look like a blubbering mess. Holy cow. The guys that listen to this show know I have my own dad wounds that I've been processing in the last 10 years more than I ever have. And so I so related to the main character and his story of just longing to find a man who would speak into him, to tell him that he's proud of him, that he loves him, that he calls him to something more. Well, let me just hand you the floor first because I have so many thoughts on this movie. What was your heart in creating? I want to hear from you guys first. Like, what was your heart creating this movie?
Well, as you probably will agree with this, whoever wants the next generation the most is going to get them. The world wants the minds and the hearts and the loyalties and the morals of the next generation. And we've got to go get them. So when fathers and when men step up that know the Lord, none of us have a perfect walk with God. None of us. Yeah. But when we take initiative and start pouring into the lives of the next generation, it can make a world of difference. And none of us are a perfect disciple. A disciple is a follower of Christ, someone that's willing to devote their lives to Christ. And they're learning how to do that as they're walking that path. Yeah. And we can pull others onto the same path to seek the Lord. You know, Paul wasn't a perfect man, but he still is pouring himself into the lives of other people, saying, follow me as I follow Christ. So we wanted to show how a Christian businessman, he's not a ordained minister, he's not a pastor, he's just a businessman, starts pouring into the life of another young man in his community. When the Lord opens the door to do that, he first mentors him, leads him to Christ, and then is pouring into him, calling him to discipleship. And then he introduces him to a small group of men who are doing that collectively. It's seven men, and the seven young men they're pouring into, and they call that group the Forge, meaning just as something like a sword, a shield, an arrow, a knife is forged over the fire with heat and pressure, a man can be forged in character and faith and strength by other men to seek and follow the Lord. And the Lord sometimes puts us in a forge of sorts. And so, but it strengthens us as hard as it is. So they do that. They call it the Forge to encourage and strengthen each other as they walk with Christ. Because we need in our culture, and especially within the body of Christ, small accountability groups, small enough to have relationship with each other, to trust each other, to keep each other accountable, to call each other out. If the group is too big, now we need the body of Christ, of course, to worship together, of course. But you need small groups where you can ask questions, get answers, walk with each other, keep each other accountable, encourage each other. So we're encouraging that in the plot of this movie. So when you watch this movie, you're thinking, man, I could do that in my church, or I could do that in my youth group, or with my kids' sports teams, or my neighbors, whoever. You can have small groups. It could be four people, six people, eight people that just are meeting occasionally, Bible studies occasionally, praying for each other, helping each other, calling each other out when necessary, and we get better that way. And isn't it interesting that with all the social media, men are more alone than they've ever been?
Yeah, totally.
And that's wild. I walk into a coffee shop and you see 12 people in there sitting by themselves looking down at their phone.
Yeah.
Right? And so we need that relationship to talk. So in my family, we will 4 or 5 times a week in the day, collectively as a family, just going through a chapter of scripture, praying together, talking, finishing the day in that regard, you know, and what's the Lord teaching you? What's God, what's the most recent thing the Lord's taught you? And then I enjoy doing that every so often with another group of young men, either in church or the school that my kids go to. Stephen's doing the same thing. We loved doing that on set, making the Forge, having young people join us to help us make the Forge. Then every day you're doing devotions together and praying. So it's not rocket science, but we need to take the next step and to take the initiative to either get discipled or pour into somebody else and begin discipling them.
Do you ever, you were talking about the people on set. Are there ever times, I mean, you're talking about, you're making a movie that's just so like gospel centered, biblically based. Are there ever times where I know that people from all kinds of stages of life and walks of life are going to be on that set where it's like, they're capturing the heart of Jesus or biblical stuff, you know, in the middle of that? Do you have any of those kind of moments?
Oh, sure. Well, when you create an environment that's prayed over and you're working on a project God's called you to make and you pray through who to hire, and you hire those people and then you dedicate every day to God, it's like this snowball of holiness in a sense. You're stacking up. This is God's movie, God's crew, God's cast, God's day. And we're dedicating and praying over the actors. But we don't only hire believers. Usually our department heads are believers. Usually the lead actors are believers. And we have non-believers that know it's a Christian film. They know it's going to be, if they look at our previous films, they know what they're getting into.
Right.
And so they kind of come in skeptical initially. And then they're wondering why there's peace and joy and love on our set. You know, they're wondering why everybody's getting along. They're wondering why they're treated with a lot of grace and respect and kindness. And then when we're praying and sharing the scriptures every day, God's word doesn't return void. So we've had people surrender their lives to Christ. Our sound guy on Courageous, in between the takes of the gang beat-in scene, he's hearing T.C. Stallings, one of the lead actors, share his testimony, and our sound guy comes to Christ in between takes because the lead actor is mic'd, and he's sharing about Jesus, and he, the sound guy, has got those earphones on, and he's listening to it.
Wow. You know?
Our jump rope coach on War Room gave his life to Christ. We just got a phone call recently of a guy that was on set with us on The Forge, one of our grips. This past year, we got a call that they said he left the set, was so impacted, has plugged into church, has now just gotten baptized. He's excited about his walk with the Lord. And so the Lord does that. You know, we can't take credit for any of that, but we're just trying to cooperate with him and let Jesus be in the center driving.
Yep.
And we find out when you let Jesus, don't just get Jesus on your bus, let him drive your bus.
Yeah.
And when he drives, man, it's like, buckle up. It's going to get really cool. So,
you know, Jackie Hill Perry, are you familiar with Jackie Hill Perry? Yeah. So she just posted something on Instagram where she was reading, she read through the whole Bible. I think Lifeway had her read through the whole Bible, and all she quite literally just read the Bible. She didn't give commentary. She didn't exegete the passages, just read through the Bible. And the producer who has to do all the production and the, you know, just listen to her read from Genesis to Revelation ends up surrendering his life to Jesus. And she was saying like, I literally didn't even give like, you know, I wasn't even telling him about the Bible. I literally just let the word of God, like I would, she said she would pray for him every, because she knew he was going to be listening to huge chunks of scripture every day. But just literally the word of God saved this man, which was just so, so cool. I love hearing those stories. Okay, this movie, I was a discipleship pastor for 7 years in the church world before I started the Statire podcast. Trying to get people in the mindset of what it looks like to disciple, to just disciple in real life, feels like a very daunting task to most people because we don't have a lot of images of what this looks like. Usually what it goes to is like, I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough theology. I don't know the Bible well enough.
Right.
What curriculum are we going to use? What day are we going to meet of the, you know, what Bible study are we going to go through? And I thought the way that you guys did this, I'm saying this one as a testimony to what you guys have done and a compliment, but also for every single person listening, especially like tell everyone in your church to watch this movie, get every pastor, every church group leader, every small group leader, every neighborhood person, like everyone needs to watch this movie because what you guys did was put in visual form what real life discipleship looks like. I love that you use a regular businessman. And I love that they weren't, yes, he did. And I won't give away all the scenes of this in the movie, but he did regular meetings with the kid, with Isaiah. Yeah. But there wasn't like a, on Tuesday, we're going to meet for Starbucks and that will be our discipleship process. It was come alongside of me. Yes. And let me show you what it looks like to wrestle with Jesus and to follow Jesus in real life. Yes. And I just thought you guys just did such a beautiful job of showing people what real life discipleship looks like. I'm just curious, like, it's weird because it's the number one thing we should be doing as Christians, and it's also probably the biggest missing piece in our churches.
Yeah.
That kind of real life discipleship. Like, yeah. How did you even come up with this? Obviously, discipleship has been a big part of your guys' life.
You know, first, but before every movie that we do go through what we call a season of prayer, trying to lay the groundwork. Lord, we want what you want. We need your hand on this. What direction would you have us to go? And after a time, the Lord always points us in a direction. For Overcomer, it was identity in Christ. For War Room, it was strategic prayer. For Courageous, it was fatherhood. And so this one, it's discipleship. And what does Scripture say about discipleship? So we dove into that. You start dissecting, what does Scripture say about discipleship? How did Jesus do it? How did the Apostle Paul do it? Even in the Old Testament, how would David and a Jonathan or a Joseph or whoever?
Elijah and Elisha.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are the elements? And it's not rocket science. It's basically, as I pursue and walk with God, come along with me. And as I learn something, I'll share it with you. Yep. And I'm not going to do it perfectly. But it's basically helping someone else devote their lives to Jesus, not to you, but to Jesus. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so the focus is on Jesus. And so that's the focus of the whole thing. And we loved doing it with a Christian businessman that in every area where he would invite Isaiah into his home for a meal, at work, into his ministry, at church, you know, or into his friend group. I mean, wherever he could, he would invite him into his life. And Isaiah begins to see the different perspectives and angles of how this guy lives, that it's not always in professional mode at work.
Right.
Yeah. It's at home with his wife and with his buddies and in a restaurant or wherever. And so on the mission field. And so we wanted to show that, because there's not one specific way that you have to do it to disciple someone effectively. The point is that that person sees the genuine faith and devotion you have to Jesus. So if that can happen when you're on the basketball court, great. Mm-hmm. In a restaurant, going on a mission trip, or at work, or at home, wherever, let them see that as you walk with them and talk about your very sincere faith and devotion to Jesus. They will pick it up. Your kids will pick it up. You can disciple your kids. So that's kind of what we wanted to do. And we wanted to do it in a way that most people would relate to. Could I do this at my work? Could I do this with my friends? Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And so that's what we wanted to present. And I'm very grateful that you saw it that way. And, and it's our hope that others see it that way. When they watch this film, they think, I could do this.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's like a masterclass on discipleship in less than 2 hours. Truly. Truly, because I did discipleship ministry for, 7 years, and just you're trying to meet with people and try to wrap their brains around it. And it's just like, you just take 2 hours of your life and watch what discipleship would look like. I think, though, because I watched the movie, I'm talking to you now, and I'm just trying to think, like, it is not complicated, but why is it so rare? And I think it is, I do think there is a high cost, because even thinking through, what was the businessman, his character? What was
Joshua.
Joshua. That's right. So Joshua's, what he did in the movie was simple and anyone can do it, but it did require a lot, right? Because you have to take a kid from I'm not just going to take a kid and meet with you once a week, like I said, at Starbucks, but I'm going to invite you to my home. I'm going to let you watch me be married. I'm going to share parts of me that hurt or that I've tried to wrestle through. I'm going to, like you said, introduce you to my friend group. Like, all of that, it's a lot. It's not complicated, but it is a lot. And I do think that is, in 2024, maybe when Jesus said, are you sure you want to be my disciple? Count the cost first. Maybe for us in our culture and North America and in this day and age, maybe the cost is high and people would have to consider, like, okay, if I'm really going to follow Jesus, what is it going to mean that God requires of me to take somebody under my wing or to invite somebody into my life and to watch?
Well, and everything is against us obeying the word of God. Our flesh, rages against discomfort or sacrifice. Galatians 5 says our flesh is in contrary to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. This world is always pushing us to short-term pleasure rather than glorifying God with our lives and to walking in love and in sacrifice. And then the devil does not want the church to be busy about discipleship. He wants us busy about anything else other than obedience to the word and prayer and discipleship. And so we are in a river of negative influence pushing us away from doing this. And we've got a generation that has been given an Americanized comfort zone, wealthier version of Christianity that requires very little sacrifice. We have impressive stages and impressive music and impressive facilities, and we sit in theater seats drinking coffee or whatever we're doing as if we are to be entertained rather than showing up, hearing the call to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. So our hope with the Forge is to spark a new vision that this is what Jesus did throughout his ministry. He made disciples. And then he calls them to go out and make disciples. But that word disciple means follower, and it's a picture of someone being one step ahead of someone else, where every time they lift up their footprint and they leave a footprint in the sand, their disciple follower steps into that spot.
Yeah.
And so everything Jesus called his disciples to do, he had done beforehand. And so he had left the wealth of heaven. And so when he comes, he says, you need to be willing to lay down your possessions to follow me. He'd already taken that step. He left intimacy with the Father in heaven. And he says, you need to be willing to lay down your relationships on earth and follow me. He'd already taken that step. You need to be willing to deny yourself and give up your glory, which he had already done in heaven. Mm. And he steps down to earth and he says, if you want to follow me, you got to be willing to deny yourself. And it's not giving up something good in order to get something worse. He's calling us to lay aside things that don't last to embrace things that will last for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's calling us out of selfishness, denying ourselves, into a life of love, into a life of significance, and into a life that matters. And most importantly, to know him and to be intimately close to him. Jesus is the pearl of great price. You know, he is the treasure in a field. He's the prize that Peter discovered after he caught all those fish, which he thought was the big thing he wanted. He walked away from the fish and the nets when he realized, no, Jesus is what I want, you know? And that needs to be with us as we give up anything in this life, possessions, time, glory, honor, convenience, comfort, and we choose to lay aside any encumbrance to follow Christ. He's the treasure. He brings the...
He is the prize.
That's right. He brings the love and joy and peace that the things of this world promise but never give us.
That's so good, man. And you know what's crazy is the cost of discipleship, it does feel high, but man, you want to know Jesus in like ways that you'll never know him. Be in a discipleship relationship. Either be discipled by somebody who's ahead of you and just like, hey, I want to follow you as you follow Jesus. Let me learn. Or disciple somebody. And the ways that you're going to get to know Jesus in those, I believe in ways that you'll never actually know him if you try to do it alone. If you try to walk the journey alone, like you're going to miss out on some of the greatest gifts of the Christian walk and journey without being part of this. Mm. I think that one of the things you guys did that was not, it didn't feel blatant or like pushed or in your face, like it didn't feel overtly kind of like pushed on us, but the fact that you went full discipleship, like it wasn't just that Joshua was going to disciple Isaiah, but there is the idea that you are also going to disciple somebody else, that this is not just me mentoring you. This is me calling you up so that you will then go call up, that you'll go call in. I love that multiplication piece that you guys put in there. That was so beautiful. Have you read The Master's Plan for Evangelism? If you haven't, it's just, it's a short book. That sounds right.
I may have read it
in the past.
It is Coleman. Yeah, it's Robert Coleman. Yeah, it's an older book.
Things about it.
It's that same concept. I mean, the movie that you guys wrote is a visualization of the master's plan of evangelism, which is this multiplication. It's not just me mentoring you one time, and that's kind of the end of the relationship. It is this idea that this will grow and grow and grow. I love that you guys put kind of the full circle of discipleship from somebody being spiritually dead, growing up in Christ, even for this kid who's hungry, you know, in a year. And now he's thinking, how do I use my life to go pour into somebody else? Mm. I'm going to give the listeners, as we wrap up here, just a few pieces of homework. First, I would say, go read that book. If you're listening to this, read that book. Read the book with a small group of guys, The Master's Plan of Evangelism. It's a very short, quick read. The second thing I would say is go back and listen to the episode that we did with Dad Tired called The Stages of Discipleship, which talk about moving from spiritually dead to becoming a spiritual parent. And then I think if you do those pieces of homework, by the time you watch this movie, The Forge, it will kind of put the ribbon on to like visually see, okay, this is what it looks like. And that would be the last piece of homework for you, is to grab all your friends and to go watch this movie. Can you guys share with us when and where they can go watch this movie and be part of it?
Sure. The Forge comes out in theaters nationwide August 23rd. You can go to our website, theforgemovie.com, theforgemovie.com, and see the trailer, learn about the movie. Eventually, it's going to have how you can buy tickets as we get closer to the release date, August 23rd. And then you can also see something called The Heart Of, which shows behind the scenes, the people that are in the Forge, the way we were focused making it. And so, and then you can download the poster, other things like that. So theforgemovie.com is the website. And again, August 23rd is when it comes out. And we hope to stir up the body of Christ, the gospels in the movie as well, in hopes that this, the fruit of this would be a focused and more intent ministry of discipleship in the body of Christ.
I have no doubt that it's going to do that. And I'm so thankful that you guys have created this amazing resource. I think you probably, I'm guessing you guys don't even know this, but I think we are showing the movie at our Dad Tired annual retreat in September after the movie comes out. I think we set it up with your team so that we will be showing the movie one of the nights that we're there. So if you sign up for the retreat, you can watch it with hundreds of other Dad Tired, like-minded men.
Awesome.
And we'll get you guys. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I think that's happening.
Thank you.
I could be totally wrong on that, by the way, too. So either way, sign up and buy a ticket, and it's going to be good. Man, thank you guys for what you're doing. May God bless you as you continue to create resources to equip the body, the saints, for the work of ministry. I'm grateful to spend some time talking with you guys. Thank you so much.
You too. God bless you, Jared.
Thanks for what you're doing, bro. God bless.
Thank you.